We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast. Your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. On a Friday, we call our Friday edition the tailgate. My name is Chris Plank. Thank you so much for tuning in. We had our first event of 2018, our first on-the-field competition for Sooner Athletics as the OU soccer team fell last night to Nebraska 2-1, heartbreaking fashion, a goal in the 88th minute. But Mac Potter's crew will look to bounce back next week as Bedlam, second week of the season. How about that for Sooner soccer? And later in the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about volleyball as Lindsey Gray-Walton's team has its final scrimmage, final exhibition matchup this weekend. I say scrimmage, it's an exhibition matchup against Arkansas. But we'll talk to the new volleyball coach and kind of learn about the roots of her being born in Oklahoma City. But first, obviously, that countdown is reaching single digits for OU's season opener as the Sooner football team takes on Florida Atlantic on September 1st to kick off the 2018 season. And the chase for eight, Jessica Cootie, has been front and center. We'll get her practice report and we'll hear from Jess coming up in just a bit. But all eyes on the quarterback position. Eric Bailey, Tulsa World beat writer, asked Coach Riley this week, what's the timeline look like?
Still no timeline. I haven't seen, you know, a ton of separation. I mean, they're both playing well today. They both had a couple of the best days that they've had. So they've been trending well here kind of as of late. The last four or five practices have been probably both of their best. Yes, they're taking advantage of it. We're not repping the threes and fours quite as much anymore. You know, really starting to just – we were already giving those guys a pretty good chunk of the reps, but even going more now. So, yeah, we'll just kind of see how it goes. You know, eventually, you know, you're going to get to game week and have to do something by then. I mean, we'll certainly do something before the first game. But other than that, I think we're going to let it play out. We're getting a bunch of reps, and we'll see how it goes.
They got a scrimmage going down tomorrow for the football team, so it'll be interesting to kind of follow some of the buzz out of the scrimmage. But Kyler Murray or Austin Kendall looks like it's heading down the wire between those two. And a lot of talk about the defense. You know, one guy we haven't heard from much is Trey Norwood, who had a phenomenal freshman campaign near the latter half of the season, stepped up, started, played very well in the Big 12 championship game. But he's assumed more of a leadership mindset this year for Sooner football, especially the defense. And they've got a goal in mind.
I think our motto is just proving to ourselves that we can be that top five defense in the country. You know what I mean? Just coming out each and every day, putting the pieces together, and just putting it together as a whole. I feel like if we just all play as one, which I feel like we've been doing, I just feel like we just do that on a consistent basis, we'll be able to stop anybody in the country. That is something you strive for, you know what I mean? Being at Oklahoma, it's a top program as it is all around. our offense is great. You know what I mean? We just want to pick up our end of the bar, and I feel like we're headed in the right direction.
So there's Coach Riley on the quarterbacks. There's Trey Norwood on the defense. What do you say we go a little bit more in-depth as Oklahoma held its first scrimmage in the rain, and Jessica Cootie filed this report.
It's been an ongoing theme for this team since camp opened up, just the high level of competition on display since day number one. But today, the Sooners holding their first full scrimmage, providing an opportunity not just to compete, but also get a game-like feel here in the rain inside Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium, with kickoff now less than 20 days away.
Great to get work in the conditions, as you see. You can never script that, but yeah, we were actually happy when we woke up this morning and knew it was going to rain. So it was great work, you know, of course, for our offensive players as far as just securing the ball, you know, having to play in those conditions, everybody for the footing and having to deal with it. We did a good job, I thought. You know, I thought, defense really played well throughout the scrimmage. I thought, you know, that they definitely won the scrimmage, no doubt about that. So enjoyed seeing us fly around, made a bunch of big stops in key situations. Offensive guys had some good drives, a lot of really good plays, but we hadn't quite put it together the way that our guys need to there. So first scrimmage, you know, a ton good. A lot of good young guys that stepped up, especially with getting a good amount of live contact. So, yeah, excited about where we're going, but we still got a long ways to go.
It always gets competitive, you know, because we got a lot of competitive dudes on the team. Me, myself, personally, you know, I want to win every time I go out there. So the competitive nature always rises. You know, we came out here with some good energy, but, you know, we can't get satisfied with that. You know, we just got to keep building on that and every day coming out here working hard every day. So I think it's the first good step. I think I like the way that we attacked today, but I think we still got a whole ways to go. So we got to keep working.
What can you take away with how your quarterbacks handle conditions like these?
They did a pretty good job today. We did a pretty good job taking care of the ball. As rain got worse, you know, a little bit of the throwing game got a little challenging, but they hung in there. We exchanged it good. You know, we really did a pretty good job taking care of the ball. So I thought they handled that well. There's little things here throughout the scrimmage they got to get better at, but they, for the first day and in conditions like this, not too bad.
How do you like where your team is at right now?
We're progressing. You know, we're growing. You feel the excitement of where you think you can get to, but you also know there's just so much more to go. So we're going to have to continue to work hard. We're going to have to continue to stay healthy and build as a team, but, you know, we got a chance.
We just keep that attitude that we got to keep getting better, you know. I talked to my guys today, and really the message was, you know, yeah, we did good, but we haven't done nothing yet. So we got to keep building on that, keep going forward, you know. Even though it's just a scrimmage, you know, we haven't done nothing yet. We haven't put nothing on tape in a real game situation. So we just got to stay humble and keep working. That's all we got to do. Every day we got to stay consistent and come out here and work hard every day.
You can see all of Jess's practice reports right now at Soonersports.tv. They are a must watch. With that said, let's welcome to the podcast Jessica Cootie. And Jess, interesting, because you would think in the elements you might want to get the guys inside, but it was almost as if they embraced the rain and the wet and the nasty of Monday.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is I woke up, saw that it was raining, got ready thinking, because I had meetings later on in the afternoon, so, you know, I was thinking, okay, I need to look presentable for all day. So I'm like, they'll be in the indoor, you know, no doubt, it's raining. And then I texted Matt Archibald, our producer, and he said, oh, we're still in the stadium.
Wow.
So I was like, okay. So I walk up there, and they're all standing underneath the tarp, and it is pouring. I mean, it was raining pretty hard, and I was kind of surprised that they never went in. And then when we got a chance to talk to Coach Riley after, he said that they woke up when they were happy that they were going to have these type of elements, because it's not something that you can just, like, prepare for any other time. So, you know, the fact that they have that kind of underneath their belt, you know, they've done it a little bit, because, I mean, you'll recall, I mean, there's been several times that, you know, the weather has been predicted, and throughout practices leading up to the game, they've done stuff to try to simulate it, but there's really no actual simulation, like actually what that weather is. So I think they were really happy to kind of have that type of experience and, to be able to know how to manage a game in those types of conditions. And yeah, he said we woke up this morning, we were happy to see that it was going to rain. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Jess, so if you haven't seen the practice report, and I urge everyone to do so at Soonersports.tv, the one thing that I came away with was how pleased that Lincoln seemed to be with the defense. And again, I know that we're not going full impact and we're not going full tackle to the ground. Well, maybe they were in some instances on Monday. But I'm loving the narrative and the words that are coming out of practice about the way this defense is performing. And when you hear the coach say it, I'm not just thinking it's lip service here. I think that they're genuinely excited about some of the guys they have stepping up.
Yeah, I mean, he's the offensive coordinator. So don't you think he'd rather be saying that I'm really happy with how the offense prepared
right.
today.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, he has a head coach. Yeah, he's got to be happy with both sides. And, you know, that's definitely been a big area of focus in recruiting and throughout this offseason. But, you know, for him, you got to think that, I mean, I don't know, but you got to think that for him, it still pains him a little bit that the defense is winning. For him to go all in about how happy he was about the defense. And, you know, we taped his preview show, and you know, that was one thing he talked a lot about, just kind of the depth that they've been able to build and how important that's been and is going to continue to be. And not only the depth, but then you've got some players that have really played some minutes, have seen some minutes. Yes, there's some really young guys, but a lot of the people that you're going to rely on a lot to kind of anchor the defense have seen some big-time minutes. You know, you look at Neville Gallimore, Amani Bledsoe. I mean, really on that D-line, you've got some guys that with some experience and how that's really shown and how that's really kind of it's been something that stood out here in this fall camp. And then also into the defensive backs and some – you got three corners there that have seen significant minutes. And then, you move Jordan Parker, who's also been in the fire. So, yeah, you've got some young guys in some positions that are new, that don't have experience, but you really do have, even though they're young, a lot of guys with some experience. So that was, you know, something that he kind of talked a lot about. So I think that's kind of what's been showing, especially here in fall camp against, you know, a quarterback battle.
With that said, I don't know how much we want or can get into it, Jess, so I'm not trying to put you in a bad situation, but I'm still buying everything that's coming out that this is a competition and this is going to go right down to the wire. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are kind of – they're battling it out and kind of liking what they're seeing from both players. And, you know, that was one thing that, again, was talked about, just kind of the difference between, you know, Kyler Murray came, he had to redshirt, and then Austin Kendall kind of lost that opportunity to kind of redshirt and learn and kind of see what it's all about because he had to be the backup his first year. So then he redshirted last year. And one thing that I have heard over and over again from doing all these history DVD interviews, and I know I keep bringing that up, but it's just so fascinating every time because you're talking to some of the best players that have ever come through here. And just hearing their perspective on what a redshirt year does, especially for a quarterback, you know, it's huge. And so I think that's one thing that, you know, has been – talked about is just the growth that Austin Kendall was able to have in a year. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to make sure they got the right guy for the job.
Boy, you see the pictures coming out, and I know we've talked about it with Caleb Kelly and Kenneth Murray. I know we've been excited about seeing Kenneth step up now in that leadership position, which he really embraced last year as just a true freshman. But, Jess, it appears even though everyone's in a competition right now, that in the very least, Kenneth Murray has really stepped up to kind of take on the role of a vocal leader for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one thing he said after practice after the scrimmage. You could kind of tell, I mean, he was, you know, his head coach, and he was sitting right there when I was in the interview with Coach Riley, and Coach Riley sat there and said, no doubt about it, the defense won the scrimmage today. And he's sitting there hearing Coach Riley praise the defense, and then I've talked to him, and he still seemed like he's a little bit disappointed in some of the plays that they missed. And so I think that just speaks volumes. And, yes, obviously we have to see what they do on Saturday. And Kenneth Murray said that. Like, we haven't done anything. We haven't put anything on tape yet. We haven't done anything on Saturday. So we can't get caught up in, like, we won a scrimmage today. Like, we can't just, like, rest our laurels
awesome.
On that. So for him to be kind of still a little bit maybe – not disappointed, but just kind of feel like they still left some things out there and really understanding that they have a long ways to go, I think is also huge in his role as a leader is all right, he's a sophomore. He's young, you know, but yeah, he's still seeing his maturity level that he still sees so much growth and potential in this defense and not letting them settle and keeping guys kind of with their hairs on fire, making sure their hair continues to stay on fire. I think is huge for this defense.
Guys like Nick Basquin coming back from injuries, and it's kind of interesting when you think about most of the battles on the offensive side of this team. It's not outside of the quarterback position, it's not a starter, but it's a guy who's going to provide some depth at the skill position. We know who the best two running backs are on this team. Who's the third running back? We know who the best wide receivers are on this team. Who's that fourth or fifth option? I mean, at running back and receiver, Jess, it's about depth and some guys stepping up that either we haven't heard from in a couple years or guys that we haven't heard from on campus yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always kind of a fun storyline because I feel like it's kind of been maybe every year it's like, oh, well, how are we going to replace this person or how are we going to replace this person? And you know, there's always kind of that, well, there's, you know, a big person left in one of those areas. There's always like a lot of depth coming back, but it's how is that going to shake out? And it always seems to be someone, I feel like the last few years that's kind of been a storyline is, yes, you have your guys, but the way that this offense is, a lot of guys are going to get opportunities. So it's just kind of, again, I'll never forget, like, you know, Kel Gundy and talking last year, is we need a lot of guys, and it's just kind of which guys are going to make the most of their opportunities, which at the beginning of the year, there's a lot for a lot of people, but then it's kind of like, you know, kind of guys tend to separate themselves a little bit with what they do with those opportunities. So that's, I think we're going to continue to see that, you know, from the beginning to, you know, mid-season, is different players kind of stepping into, you know, bigger roles as they kind of get comfortable and you know, with the quarterbacks and whatnot. But yeah, I think that's been exciting to watch. Just because there's so many playmakers on this offense. And no matter who the quarterback is, you're seeing so many different guys kind of jump in there and make plays. And so I think that's got to be good. It's got to make a new, you know, while a guy is kind of battling, trying to win a job, knowing that there are so many players that are going to make plays for him, that it's got to help a guy moving into a situation like a starting quarterback for the first time.
And by the way, I know there's battles on the offensive side of the football. You know, either Bobby Evans or Cody Ford are going to start at the left or right tackle, whichever one Bill Beatenbow decides. And I think you're going to have a pretty good option at center. But I'll say this much, Jess. I know that probably over the next couple of weeks we'll go into our strengths and weaknesses, areas that we feel like are strengths in this team. But I almost feel like for about the third or fourth year in a row when we've sat down and done this together, we're talking about the offensive line as a strength on this team, and they're replacing an All-American at left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one thing, too. I'm getting a call in my office. I'm hanging out with them. Sorry. No, I mean, and I was, one thing else I was going to bring up, too, is I don't know if you guys saw the piece with Nick Basquin that the football staff did, just kind of talking about his comeback and everything that he kind of went through. And while they didn't kind of necessarily hit on as much that he was coming back from like that happening twice to him, just the way that, you know, he's kind of approaching it. And, you know, he felt like last year was going to be maybe a breakout year for him. And, you know, now he feels like he's poised and ready to go for his breakout year. And so, I mean, I just think, yeah, the depth there and then the depth at O-line and it's just so interesting to hear, you know, Gabe Eichert talk about Bill Beatenbow. You know, you remember Gabe only played with for Bill for 1 year, mm-hmm. but I don't know if you'll find anybody that respects more, you know, Coach Beatenbow than Gabe Eichert. And, you know, Gabe played with several different teams in the NFL and, you know, has had, you know, his fair share of offensive line coaches. And, you know, he just is just so high on him and how he kind of develops players and how he kind of, you know, trains you with your mind in addition to everything that you're doing kind of physically, the way that they're so prepared. It's just, you know, I think, again, that's going to be one of the strongest suits, if not the strongest suit for this football team this year. And the recruiting that he's been able to do and then the way that he brings players along, you know, how he gets them to buy into, you know, learning so many different of, you know, the X's and O's things with the film and the studying and the game planning, but then, you know, the way that he gets them to play together, you know, that's as most important as anything is the chemistry that you get with those guys up front. And he really stresses that is who's playing the best together. And those are going to be the five guys that plays. It doesn't matter if you're a walk-on, if you're a three-star, a two-star, or a five-star that everybody wanted. If it's the five guys that play the best together. That's who's going to play. And he has great, you know, way to figure all of that out. He's very, very, very smart.
Jess, you had a chance to talk post-practice, I think it was last week, with Trey Norwood. Obviously, there's a lot of competition in that safety position, but from all accounts, seems like Trey Norwood's really having himself a good camp, trying to lock down that corner position, opposite of Pernell Motley, we assume.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been a kind of a storyline, I feel like, since the spring. I feel like I've been hearing, you know, stuff about how well he's been doing since the spring, and you know, going back to the bowl coverage, when we talked to Kerry Cooks, and you know, Trey Norwood kind of got thrown into the starting lineup there at the end of the season, and then you know, Coach Cooks talked about the huge amount of growth that he saw in Trey Norwood in bowl preparation, because again, it's kind of like spring where you can go back to really kind of the basics a little bit and really get some one-on-one work with coaches. And, you know, you see a lot of growth in guys during that time. And so I go back to that, and Kerry Cook's just kind of raving about how much Trey Norwood came along in the bowl preparations leading up, you know, to the Rose Bowl. And so then I think that definitely carried over into the spring. And, you know, again, I think a guy that's got a lot of potential that they've been really excited about, but has been able to really kind of settle in. And he's been another one of those vocal guys. And you look at the vocal guys, you got to be excited about the future that, you know, two of the guys that are really kind of stepping into those roles are sophomores.
Yeah.
You know, Kenneth Murray and Trey Norwood. So I know that they've been really pleased with him, you know, on kind of a leadership level, in addition to what he's been doing just on the field and kind of separating himself in that cornerback position on the field.
Jess, I'll let you go on this. I'm trying to rack my brain of all the interviews that you've done so far in practice avails, but has there been anyone that you've chatted with so far that kind of surprised you, that you get more excited about talking with as the season progresses? I mean, Kenneth Murray is awesome. I think we can all accept that when it comes to answering questions and bringing the energy. But has there been anyone that's kind of surprised you so far?
You know, no, because I've kind of talked to, I mean, it's Rodney and Neville, and then it was Grant and Trey, which I've said from the beginning, Grant Calcaterra is a great interview. I was able to do the interview with him on his family, and then ended up getting to do the feature with Grant and Mark in the bowl game. And so, you know, he's very, very smart, and so he's, you know, he communicates very well, so he's a great interview. And Trey Norwood, I've talked over and over again about the personality of the defensive backs of the secondary. I mean, I've got to figure out if Kerry Cooks will let me just put in a camera in a meeting room sometime, because the personality of literally top to bottom in that whole group is, I mean, they're hysterical. So, you know, you've got some guys with some great personality. I'm just excited to see, because again, you know, which we've talked about, but for so long you had Stephen Parker that was around that played for a long time, and Baker and Orlando and Mark, like these guys that you kind of relied on for the last few years to kind of be the voice and kind of you talk to a lot. This is an opportunity for some guys to kind of, you know, kind of step into the spotlight a little bit. So I'm excited to see, and I think we'll continue to see that throughout the next few weeks and into the season, kind of who's going to embrace that role a little bit.
Good stuff from Jess. We'll be debuting her new podcast and tell you a lot about it coming up next week right here on the Sooner Sports Podcast. So Toby Rowland will be back with us next week as we go all in on football. And then beginning on game week, we're back to 3 podcasts a week. You'll hear from us Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday right here on the Sooner Sports Podcast. Well, what do you say we wrap things up today with the newest member of the Oklahoma coaching staff? She is the head women's volleyball coach, and she is getting set for her first season at the helm of the Oklahoma Sooner. Lindsey Gray-Walton joins us right on the podcast. Coach, you know, it was interesting. You and I chatted last, and we had you on the podcast last, right after Meet the Sooners Day, and I hadn't realized you were actually born in Oklahoma City. So kind of give us your roots here in the 405 and how you've come full circle.
I did. And honestly, I think my parents moved here, Colorado, you know, on a job transfer, when I was just kind of an idea. And then obviously, as with it, job transfers came a lot early on. And so I was born here, and literally like the 3 months of maternity leave were taken here, and then we were gone. So I say it, but I try not to say it too much because then someone's like, oh, well, so you know. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't. So, yeah, you know, it was a cool connection when it all kind of kicked off and started, and it truly brought us literally back to the birthplace. But, no, I mean, I'm a Midwest kid. I've grown up with my Big 12 roots surrounding me, and I won't tell you who I rooted for growing up. But, yeah, it's been good stuff and good to be back. And, you know, the people, the thank yous, the holding the doors, the hugging, those are the things that you notice as soon as you return, like, you know, you've been missing it since you left. So, yeah, that is the root of my story. But let's not stay on that too long because I don't have too many OKC stories for you.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw that in I was working on an article about you, and I thought, oh, my, I have never even asked her about it. And now I know why. Makes me feel better. How's the first few practices going for you? How's this first week been?
Great. You know, we're on week two. We just kicked that off. And I think as a coach or any staff, you're always excited this time of year if you can check all the boxes and say we're all still pretty much healthy. Other than a couple, you know, knickknacks and bangs up of things that have just come up in practice or resting some people. But no major things have happened. And I think everybody's, you know, you knock on wood because our sport is physical and fast. And there's a lot of just opportunity for, you know, something at some point. But I think what we've seen is our athletes took care of themselves over the summer and came in well prepared, and their bodies were prepared. They're fueled and recovered and, you know, all the hit words that our nutritionist likes to use with them. And they were ready to go, you know, and that's exciting for us because as coaches, you don't want to spend time on getting ready to play. You want to spend time on the reps and the fundamentals and the technical training, and we were able to get right into that. So we're doing well. We're actually in the middle of just a little bit of low impact this morning. We've got a scrimmage tonight, and then we will start to taper like we would for game week since we have our exhibition against Arkansas on Saturday. So a lot of bright spots, healthy bodies, which we're always excited about, and good energy.
Can I start talking specific battles yet from a personnel perspective? I mean, because it looks like you have quite a battle going on at the setter position. The defensive specialist looks like a heck of a battle that you have going on. You've got a lot of depth, it seems, that's developing at the outside hitter position. So personnel-wise, kind of how's everything playing out, Coach?
Yeah, no, we do. We have a lot of depth and we have a lot of good, healthy competition. I think, you know, iron sharpens iron, and you see the best programs, they don't just have six great players. They have a team of them. And if you can have a second side that can replicate a top 10, top 15 program, or, you know, a scout team like what you'll see on the weekend or during the week, it's so crucial to truly getting your A side prepared. And so, what we've truly tried to encourage is we all need to be a little bit better for each other. You know, if I'm not being better in my position, I'm not making another person in my position better. I'm not making us as a whole better. And so not to really worry about what everyone else is doing, but worry about what you can do right now for us. And, you know, depth is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And competition is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It allows us to be creative, and if we truly embrace it the right way, we can have a lineup that looks different on August 24th than it does on October 10th, than it does, you know, in November if we wanted it to. Or we can have a situational sub that we've been working on that, you know, allows us to score some points, or different things that, you know, to the outsider, we're not just looking for 6 to 8 starters. We're looking at, you know, where can we earn a lot of points, and who does that for us, and how can we get them into the match to have success. So it's been cool to see it shake down. A lot of the veterans, you know, I think are feeling some competition from some of the young ones, and that's what you want too. You want to out-recruit your gym and make sure you're bringing in talent that can do what they did before and take you to another level. And so we're excited about that because the full year process for some of our young ones, you can really see it starting to pay off here in the preseason, and just how they're carrying themselves through the door. They walk in, shoulders back, head up, and a little more confident in how they're doing out on the floor for us.
I love that. Out recruit your gym. That's great. will you take me through then the psychology of that? And I don't know if you don't want to go too in depth, I completely understand. But when you've been a starter or you've been someone who's been a difference maker, then all of a sudden a new coach comes in and says, competition, every job, I'm just using these words, up for grabs. Yeah. Sometimes for people mentally, that can mess with them a little bit. Have you had to do some of that? Is that a challenge here, or has everyone pretty much embraced it?
I think for the most part, everyone has embraced it. You know, I know that natural reaction is you don't hear yourself on a starting side to start. And it's like, oh, but I'm still playing. I'm still competing. You know, now I got to make, you know, their side, you know, the hardest side to score on. And, you know, we got to win my side. Or, you know, I want them to go somewhere mentally where it's not against you. It's just what we got to do right now. And, you know, we want to challenge you. Ultimately, as coaches, we were brought here to push, hold, love, push you to reach your potential, hold you accountable for that, and love you regardless. So even though you're not a starter, doesn't mean I don't like you. I don't love you. You know, we got to, everybody is here. Roles may change. Status never does. Because you just never know when you're going to be called upon. You never know when a moment might happen, an injury, a situation. You just never know. And so if you haven't prepared for that in practice, then, you know, when the lights go on, we shouldn't be surprised if it can't happen there. So that's more what we've really tried to impress upon them this season, is we get an opportunity to walk in the gym right now and compete and get better. So who's across the net from you? Mental picture, who is that? You know, what team in our pre-conference, in our conference play, what player are you attacking? Different things like that, so they can, it's not their teammate across from them. It's someone else. They're there, they're in the moment, and when that moment actually comes, it's kind of like deja vu. They've been there, done that, and they know that they can have success.
So I got to know, is Berkeley starting back to school tomorrow? Is she already back? How's that process going as she moves to a new city?
She is. No, she is. She's so tickled about it, too. I mean,
good.
We did back to school night last night over at McKinley. That's where she's at.
Oh, wow.
That school, you know, they're
awesome.
So amazing. The teachers and staff over there, and especially to a new family. And there's definitely some familiar faces from around the athletic department. So that's been fun. And, She's excited. She's a likable, funny, giggly type kid. And, you know, her response when we told her she was moving was, well, great, I get all new friends. And so she naturally sees good. And don't we all wish we could see it that way through the scope of a 5-year-old lens? But,
amen.
Yeah. You know, when all you're worried about is your Cheerios in the morning and what, you know, cartoon you're going to be watching and the activity you're going to do at school later. God love it.
We were McKinley the first year we moved down here. And the only reason we didn't go there anymore is because we moved, and then our church started. Anyway, you don't need it in my life story.
Yeah.
But I was just going to tell you, it's the greatest, because there's so many wonderful people at that school. They're all passionate about the Sooners. And here's the coolest thing is, like, pick up. You get to play outside with the kids. It's great. It's the most wonderful thing on the planet. So I'm pumped for you.
I told that last night. They were like, you just come out to the playground. I was like, excuse me, I don't need a number in my car or anything.
It's awesome.
She's really excited about it. And we're excited for fall to be here finally. You know, summer is great, but fall is the best time, I think. So it's all good things right now and good vibes.
Hey, I want to bring this up, and I know we're going long, and I apologize, but before I let you go.
No, you're good.
We got Jessica Cootie coming up next, and her and I were trained text about this earlier, but you open up practices and you want the public to come out or no?
Yeah, no, we did. We opened them up, you know, a little bit with the new recruiting rule. We got to be flexible, but a little bit also we're new, and we want you guys to see the brand of volleyball that we're putting together, the hard work that these kids are putting in. And we want you to know the faces when you come in for that first time and see a match, that you can recognize the name on the back with the name that's on your program and what's going on out on the court. And maybe you've heard us in practice get to talk specifically about certain things, so you know you're a learner of the game, and you're understanding why we have to rotate the way we do and why that person has to wear that weird different colored jersey. I don't understand, you know, all the questions.
Right.
So You know, we thought about doing just one open practice, but also we didn't want to just shut it down to just one. So the doors of the field house are always open. The upstairs is where the most comfortable chairs in the house are for sure. And just come ready to hear some noise, whether it's good music or a lot of action on the court. And yeah, they're wide open anytime, 3 to 6 in the afternoons in the fall is what we do. So after school, pick up, want to bring your kids by, and we would love to see you.
I think it's cool that practices are open. Check that out for volleyball. Again, soccer, tough loss to open their season. They'll look to bounce back next weekend in Bedlam, in Stillwater, Bedlam against Oklahoma State. Well, we're all in on football, so thank you so much for subscribing and listening to the Sooner Sports Podcast. Again, tell a friend, share us on social media, or just go to Soonersports.tv/podcast and hit that share icon and let everyone know that you're following along and listening, and they need to be listening and following along right here on the Sooner Sports Podcast. Until next week when T-Row joins us and we go all in on football, this is Chris Plank signing off for now saying, Boomer Sooner, everybody!
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.